Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I'm your host, Daniel, and joining me at the farm is Darren and Philip. Hey, guys, isn't it really nice here?
You got to say it right. It's the farm.
It's just how I laugh, man.
It's much better than, I know, Darren, you saw this recently, much better than the Battlestar Galactica farm. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Oh, much gosh, better. Yes. Jeez. Thanks for that mental image, but yes.
So, Daniel, I'm going to have to call you out. I'm sorry, I know you're leading us today. You keep trying to make Let's Just Pruitt, and I don't think it's going to catch on as a saying, you know?
Just so you know, I actually do try to put my last name, which is Prue. It rhymes with the word true. It's very common phonetically in language. I put that in as much as I possibly can. So Let's Just Prue It is something I would actually say. So if I was Boimler and I could say, Boimly me me up, then I would totally do it.
Can you say it? Because I don't think you succeeded in that when you just tried right there.
Well, it's copyrighted. We don't want to actually say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. So good. Yeah, here we are. It's a nice, pleasant planet. And joining us, as we do every week, we have a guest, and we're going to welcome Sue onto the farm. Hey, Sue, how are you?
Hi, I'm great, guys. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for joining us. So we're going to start with what we always do is, what are your overall general impressions? We are now, this is episode 7, I think, of Lower Decks. So we're heading to the back half here. We're just a couple episodes left. So
we're sliding into home.
Yeah,
another... football terms
at this point.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. At this point, you must have a pretty established idea how you feel about Lower Decks. Are you a fan? Not so much. Or where do you sit?
You know, I was super duper excited when this show was coming, and I think I might have gotten my hopes up a little high. I'm not enjoying it, but it's not like what I dreamed it would be at this point. It's a fun time. I certainly enjoy watching it. But it's like, it feels like something is missing to me. And I think it's a weird thing to say, right? Because it's only 10 episodes, but it still to me feels like they're just getting their footing. And we shouldn't be saying that 3/4 of the way through a season, but we're also used to much longer seasons. So I don't know. Like, I'm certainly sticking with it. I'm certainly enjoying it. I'm having a good time. But it's not... I would say it's in the middle of the pack as far as my Star Trek series go at this point.
Well, so it is missing something, and that something is Rutherford. And I don't know...
He's in the episode, Philip.
Is he?
He's doing things.
Enough.
Enough, probably not enough. We are Rutherford lovers here on the show, and
his technology is in the episode, but is he in the episode?
He had two scenes that I remember.
Oh,
no, I agree.
Two scenes.
Oh well, great. Yes, you know, I actually think that maybe you and I had have a bit of a similar feeling, because I also kind of went through it. This like, oh, I was really pumped and excited, and then kind of this acceptance into like, okay, this is just what the show is. It's not exactly what I was hoping for, but it's still enjoyable and, you know, still going to watch it sort of situation. But, yeah. So what about favorite characters? Where anyone you attach yourself to? Or do you love, how do you feel about the Doctor? I feel like maybe that might be made for you. I'm not sure, but I feel like,
I mean, yes, that is what I was about to say. The Doctor is as if they read my journals. You know, they put a ginger cat in a lab coat, and I couldn't be happier about that. As far as our main characters, I think I would also err on the side of Rutherford. I think that he is very kind and genuine, but like knows where he wants to be on that ship, but was so wanting to help one of his friends that he considered changing his job just to hang out with a friend. Like, that's the sweet kind of personality that I think we don't often see in male characters, especially. So I'm a big fan of what they're doing with Rutherford.
Yeah, I think, and I don't want to speak for Darren and Philip, but I don't think they'll yell at me if I say one of our favorite sequences, if not so far of the whole show, was that sequence where he, you know, they throw it like, I want to switch tracks. And they're like, go for it, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, they're all so supportive.
It's so good. It's so good. But yeah, so we definitely love Rutherford here. And let's get into the episode then.
The Rutherford of it all.
The Rutherford of, well, it's a Boimler. Well, it's a Boimler title, but it's not really a Boimler
episode.
It's
in the title. It's got to be about Boimler. So much to do with.
Yeah. So should we start with the Boimler plot? Should we go that way first?
I mean, you can't avoid
hearing or
seeing.
You mean the Boimler Tendy plot?
Could we call it that, or is that kind of a stretch?
I mean, they leave the ship together.
They barely talk to each other, though.
Yeah, they're kind of the A and C plot. They don't really have their plot together, I wouldn't say.
Yeah. Oh, so you're saying the A plot would be the Mariner with her bestie, best friend.
No, you know, I think Boimler's the A plot. I think Mariner's the B plot, and I think Tendy is the C plot.
And Rutherford.
That's true.
In a scene.
Well, I think Tendy is, yeah, she is the C plot, but it's almost like, let's have her do this weird thing so that she goes with Boimler. Because literally, she doesn't.
Her.
If she doesn't do the dog, then there's no reason for her to go with him on that adventure. So,
yeah, but she's not part of the uprising. She's just kind of also there.
She's kind of there.
She leaves the room like really conspicuously. It's like really weird. They like wait for her to leave, and I'm like, is it because she's new? But then no, they still say their stuff in front of Boimler, who ruins everything.
Well, I think it's because she's not the, and I hate this word, but she's not the freak.
Mm.
Oh, okay, that's what they were waiting for. That makes sense. At least that makes
sense. She's normal, air quote, the dog, which is funny because she doesn't, you know, until later, she doesn't realize that the dog is different.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to the dog. It seems like we're already separating the stories. So we'll just, let's stick with the Boimler
stuff. We didn't pull it apart, Daniel. It fell apart in our laps when we started talking about
it. And again, I think it's one of those things, I think, talking about how you enjoy the series, it's funny, I think this is maybe for the, I don't know, I want to say this, I might be wrong. I think this is the Star Trek series that my wife Jessica enjoys more than I do. So I think she laughs more at which I think is odd because we've had this discussion on this show about who is this show for, and it seems to be like, well, just diehard Trekkies. But I'm like, I don't know. My wife, I mean, you know, Jessica is forced to watch it. You know, she's not a diehard Trekkie by any means, but I think she enjoys it probably more than I do. I don't hate the show or anything, but I'm just always like, yeah.
I know where this is now jumping back because you took us there. Your fault, Philip. I would say I'm a fan of like animation for adults, but not all of it. Like, I've never really been a fan of Rick and Morty. The Simpsons has kind of fell off my radar, but like, I'm all about Bob's Burgers. So I've been trying to think about like, what are the animated shows that I enjoy and why is it? So like, where is Lower Decks not hitting for me? And I can't believe I'm about to say this, but like, the humor isn't that smart. And I think that's what it is. It's funny, but it's not clever.
It's more referential, you know, talking about comedies, obviously, the worst
thing to
do.
At least 50% of it is,
but it's more, referential.
Not IMDb.
Memory
Alpha.
And if I could do a comedy critique, and again, nobody cares about comedy critiques. I think, to me, the funnier things, I'm doing hand quotes here, to me, and of course, humor is subjective, ask Data, but is that to make Star Trek references, but references not like, because, like, for instance, they're like, when Mariner's, and I know we're not talking Mariner, but when Mariner's like, oh, it's a Jellicoe, like, she should know who Jellicoe is. Like, you're supposed to make fun of the Star Trek universe, but, like, when they're like, well, this is what Worf does.
Specifically TNG.
Like, they're fans of the show, too, I think. You know, the characters are watching Star Trek, too. And I'm like, it just takes me out a little bit.
Why wouldn't Ensign on the Cerritos know about
that one
chain
time
of command.
Jellicoe
about the
showed up and it
about
all
chain
went
of
bad.
Command,
And also, I know we're not getting to it, I'm sorry, but just like that they're making this, can't remember people's, Mariner's mom, Captain Freeman, that they're making that literally like, just in case you don't know that we mentioned Jellicoe, we're going to make fun of the fact that they're doing the Picard mission. on Chain of Command. So I was like, right. Yeah. I mean, I get it.
But they're not even doing that mission. They're planting seeds, but doing it in the black tactical gear because...
That's pretty funny.
But that is funny. But that's where the joke comes
that's
in.
That's so much more of a subtle joke. That worked so much better for me that they all went off on, like, all these three senior members went off on a shuttlecraft mission in these black stupid suits to plant those seeds.
Maybe
that's good Star Trek referencing. When you literally come out and say Jellicoe, that's when you instantly the Star Trek people.
Ha, look, subtle. I name dropped. Insert name here.
Yeah.
The Star Trek fans they facepalm, and then everybody else goes, "What? What? Mm-hmm. What does that mean?" Like, this goes back to the same conversation we've had countless times before. Who is the show for? Because if it is for Star Trek fans, then we don't need those crazy, obvious, silly jokes. But then you miss everyone else when you're just kind of throwing these names out left and right. So it's like, I like the subtler humor, but sometimes it's too obvious. But
yeah, but I think we also have to remember, like, the four of us here, we've been podcasting about Star Trek for many years. Right, there are lots of people who are Star Trek fans who are not in it as deep as we are. So, like, while I can rattle off all of Chain of Command for you, pretty much, because it's one of the Crusher episodes and she lives in my brain rent-free, not everybody can. So not everybody's going to have Jellicoe, right, on the tip of their tongue. So maybe some people might need that reference.
Yeah,
I don't know.
All the cast and that's why musical I think... fans are like, what's going on here?
Did I say Jellicoe?
I'm kidding.
And I would not be surprised.
They've been releasing like little clips, and you know, CBS All Access, to their credit, they have been releasing things of like, hey, did you catch all the Easter eggs this week? You know, which is fine. It's okay to point those out because often they'll catch one that I missed, you know, and like you said, we've been podcasting a long time about this topic.
Well, and if CBS wants to use Lower Decks as like a vehicle as a celebration of Star Trek for, or even like if you want to look at it cynically, as an advertisement for all the other Star Trek that you can watch on CBS All Access, which will now become Paramount Plus, you can do that, and that's fine.
The plus means better.
And that's fine. It's totally cool. It's fine. It's just it's tough, I think, to walk that tightrope where the hardcore people start to roll their eyes and the casual people start to lose interest. And it's just a tough balance, I think, to find.
And I think the reason that I'm bringing up this subject is I just don't want to talk about Boimler. I mean, like, I get it. I get it. I get what he does. He's the chaos character. But I'm not even saying that his story wasn't good, end quote. But I'm just sick of him. I get it. He's the chaos. He's annoying. He's not... To me, and again, this is subjective, he's not a primary character. And again, this is me pushing Rutherford. But anyway, not, Rutherford aside, like, he's a secondary character. Like, the Chaos Agent, the Tattler, that's a Milhouse. He's a Milhouse. They made Milhouse the main character. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, was anybody here surprised that he tattled, like, at all? No.
I mean, it was a little funny. I'm not going to lie, but...
Not that it wasn't funny, but it was very predictable. Like,
for sure.
He does the Starfleet thing, technically, right? He does the right thing.
That is, the Boimler storyline is the one that made me the most uncomfortable in this episode. You know, they're obviously, like, playing on the quote-unquote freaks and all the medical accidents that happen. You think, you know, maybe we're going to have this ship that, another ship full of Starfleet's dark secrets. Is Division 14, like another Section 31? And you see references back to Threshold and the Cage and Tuvix, right? And the whole time I'm watching this, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, what is this saying about how Star Trek has treated disability in the past? Because let's be real, it hasn't been good. Thankfully, the farm is a real place with where people will actually be taken care of. And in some interpretations, you can say, hey, that's great, and they're finally addressing this. But also, they are shipping these people off to, even if they're going to now live the rest of their lives in luxury, they're still kind of out of sight, out of mind for everybody else. So I'm still, like, not really sure what to think about that storyline.
Yeah, I was like gearing up to be really upset about the fact that this was like another Section 31, like you mentioned. Like, I was like, why are they doing, like, this is the worst. Like, obviously it makes sense that they're already kind of playing on your suppositions of what Section 31 is, and that, like, that puts it right in your mind without saying it. And I like that subversion of expectation, that it's like, okay, no, it's real, and this guy's just a weirdo, and it's, he keeps the real lights on. He keeps the lights too dim, and
it's just,
and
his laugh, man.
Laughs maniacally. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, we should probably tell people more stuff and give people more information. That would make a lot of sense before the mutiny happens. Yeah. So I actually think it works well as a setup, but like,
it did take a long time for the punchline to drop, though. Yeah. Like, yeah. A long time.
If these people are getting really like getting ready to mutiny, yeah, maybe just give them some food.
And that's
like,
where he jokes about the fact that apparently that's happened before. He's like, let's do it before the mutiny next time. It's like, that means it's happened already, you know.
And it will happen again. Darren, what did you think, Mr. TAS, of our species?
Oh, of Eric's.
Yeah. I couldn't remember. What's it? Thank you. I was like, it's Eric, but that's not the name of the species. And I'm like, oh, I'm doing this the whole time.
It's the Eraxians.
No. Aaron Harvey would punch you in the neck.
Hey, I'm holding Aaron Harvey's book.
He's got the book right now.
Wait, so I was confused. Yeah. Do they have four arms?
They have three.
No, three. They have three legs and three arms.
But he turned around and he had an arm behind. He must have just held his arm.
Yeah, so yeah, they're really, really cool species. And I think I liked how they played him with a darker, sinister voice because Eric's is...
It wasn't James Doohan?
Yeah. Surprise.
But it was very high. I think they adjusted the pitch on it. Because it was all like, you know, we should go do this. Let's go to the planet.
I like he had a
thrusters.
Cool uniform.
Yeah, with the cool. Hole. Yeah. Oh, you're talking about in
yeah.
Not. I'll put the past away. And
with
just,
his little cape.
Yeah,
that cape was cool. More well, capes. And it worked well, especially with the third
arm.
The third.
What was
arm.
The name of his ship? I don't remember.
The farm. No.
At first,
Oslo, something
Osler,
like that.
Osler.
Oh yeah, I remember thinking, is this Canadian?
Osler. Yeah.
It's a Canadian doctor, I think, who like pioneered bedside manner.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Okay.
Which like makes it even more twisty that it's this weird, creepy ship where they all think they're going to die.
Well, because when I first saw the ship,
yeah, doctor.
To me, it was
Canadian
a bit...
physician. Four founding professors of John Hopkins Hospital. So yeah, it's a doctor.
Because when I first saw the ship, to me, it was, maybe I wasn't paying attention, but it was like a rough transition where it was like, boom, you see the ship, and I'm like, is there like a time ship? Is that from the future? Because it looks so, because the Cerritos is so TNG looking, even though we're theoretically post TNG, that when I saw that ship, which is very Voyager, if I can use that phrase, Voyager looking, you know, Prometheus looking, I was like, is this like a future time ship? Because I was looking at the NX74324, and I was like, oh, sorry, this is actually a current ship, quote unquote. So it just threw me off.
Yeah. I mean, they make it look creepy as all get out. It looks like a dagger in space. It's got all these hard edges. And
how many ways does it separate, like, Darren?
It's happening. It's inside a lightning storm.
Mm-hmm. That was the other thing. That was the other. Because I was like, is it like a time anomaly, like Enterprise C style or something? Or?
I guess it's just. It's just around. Like, it just goes from place to place. You know, picking up these people, and like you said, Sue, we fortunately find out that the farm is a real place, but. And it does look pretty idyllic, right? I mean, it's all sunny, and dogs can fly.
Were they saying that was where they were making them stay for the rest of their lives? Or was that also, like, a treatment center to, like...
Yeah,
I don't know if they were clear.
They didn't show much treatment.
He does say that everyone is cured at the farm.
Yeah.
That's true. In a maniacal way.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, I would hope that they were also receiving medical treatment, and that there is research
that makes
being
more
done.
The only treatment I saw was a spa treatment, which is not bad, but
okay. So, well, we've talked there a little bit about the farm. And...
Also, I mean, and again, I know this is me being whatever, but like them, and I don't know, I don't know the gentleman's name. Did not catch it. But the main I also try to avoid the word freak. But anyway, the main dude.
The old young guy.
Yeah, the old young guy. There we go. Yeah. Because he's wearing the old uniform, but I'm like, why would he be wearing the old? Like, I mean, I know that we're supposed to think that he's literally been, like, caged away for, like, you know, for years or months or whatever. But I'm like, he'll be wearing it. Anyway, I don't know.
Well, that uniform is, we saw the TNG cast in it in, what, 2379? And this is 2380. And there is clear evidence of uniforms overlapping in the Star Trek universe. So I don't think we need to be worried too much about the gray shoulders showing up.
So you're saying that there's a California-style uniform that's what everyone's wearing on the Cerritos, because we see it in all, that every ship it encounters so far, except for the one, has been California class, except for the Canadian one.
The Canadian one.
Well, and Mariner's flashback is to that, is to Gray Shoulders.
The Gray Shoulders, yep. Mm-hmm. So we have seen it before, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But even with TNG and DS9, we saw the color block uniforms with the colored shoulders at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
We saw background characters with zippers when they had, and zippers and piping when they had moved on in TNG. So, you know, it's what props has, man.
In even the cartoon animation. Universe,
even they only have so many animated cells, they're going to reuse those.
So my question is, we do see a, what would we call them? A Jane Paris salamander?
Oh, yeah. The lizard baby.
So do we think that they are lizard baby? Do we think that they are related, in fact, to Captain Janeway and Tom Paris?
I think it's a lizard baby. Oh, are you saying that they literally traveled to the Delta Quadrant?
Baby? That it's literally a lizard baby.
I think it's the one, or somebody else who tried to break warp 10.
Go warp threshold. 10. Yeah, that makes more sense.
All right. I don't know.
That's what happens.
There's no canon on your side for an argument, but I guess I could surmise that.
I mean, there's no canon on the side of the other side either.
Well, we have seen that humans... we don't know. I guess we don't know.
What have we seen, Daniel? That humans evolve? Is that what we've seen, Daniel?
Well, according to Brennan Braga, we devolve. So, but we're not going to touch that with a million-foot pole. Let's talk about the other aspect of Genesis. The Boimler story, which is the beaming stuff with Rutherford.
If I could get it to be, 0.5 seconds faster, we could...
He's so wholesome. Yeah. I love him so much.
Yeah, Rutherford's the best.
Also, I didn't, and again, it's a cartoon. Don't stop that, Philip. But, like, he beamed him, and it worked. And it's like, let's do it again. I'm like, no, it worked. We don't need to do it again. I mean, I get scientific repeated trials. But, I mean, like, Boimler set himself up. Rutherford didn't say, I need to do it again. He's like, good. Done. Job's good. And Boimler's like, do it again. I'm like, well, okay. Now, whose fault is this, Boimler?
Well, and it's such a The Fly setup. Like, you know something's going to go wrong.
I kind of loved the visual and the auditory sense of it. Like, those were good jokes. Like, when he comes onto the bridge, like, trying not to interrupt everybody. They're just like...
Yeah, like the screeching sound. And they're like, oh, we fixed that part. That was the worst part.
It's only cosmetic.
Well, and because he was phased, but he could touch things. He could operate controls.
It's only cosmetic, Darren. It's not phased. I mean,
he wasn't as phased as Ro and Geordi. He was only off by one millicochrane?
That's what he said, yeah.
Yeah.
He was one step further than Geordi and Ro were in that episode. So, okay. So let's move on to, the big thrust of the episode, which was, of course, Mariner. And... I don't know if you guys know this, but she's a maverick, so she does what she wants, and you know, what do you guys think of this storyline? It's just getting old for me. It's tough to watch the same thing over and over and over again.
See, I thought this was finally some development for her, because I mean, first of all, they split Mariner and Boimler up. Thank God.
Yes.
Because I'm getting really sick of the couples, but I mean, we've seen her over and over again. Be kind of adult and kind of amazing, and we don't know what the deal is. But this time around, she finally admits it, that she's still just trying to figure it out and what she wants to do, and that she's purposely not getting promoted because she doesn't want the responsibility at this point. And we're finally seeing that character be genuine rather than just be, like, badass. And so it felt like movement for me, for this character.
I felt that, and again, maybe wasn't paying attention. I felt like I missed a spot because, you know, she's introduced. I don't remember people's names, so Captain BFF.
Ramsey, Captain Ramsey.
Okay. Oh, see, that's a bad one. It reminds me of Voyager. Anyway, Captain Ransom. But anyway, all right, Captain Ramsey. So, like, when, you know, they sort of reunite, Manner just starts effing up all over the place and whatever, and which I thought was, like, that was, to me, not, I mean, this doesn't have to be funny. I thought that was an interesting plot, like, oh, maybe when she's around. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I was, like, I was going with it, though. And then, like, halfway through that story, which is near the end of the episode, you know, Captain Ramsey's like, oh, you're just doing that because, you know, I'm going to recruit you. I'm like, where did that come from? Okay. I mean, I didn't know where that was. I didn't even know that was coming up. But I guess that was, you know, maybe you don't need to spell it out to me. And I mean, I caught up then, but I was kind of like, I didn't even know that was on the table.
Well, and there is a moment where her friend, Captain Ramsey, asked her, yeah, she was like, why are you doing this? And she's kind of confronting her. But before that, yeah, there was a moment where she's starting to just, you know, Ramsey's starting to be like, yeah, just kind of have that kind of like, what's going on? And that's where the first time we see where Mariner kind of looks away, like she has a moment, you know, where she looks away, like she's embarrassed. And oh, that's right. They were talking about like promotion, like, oh, why? Because obviously they were in like the same class and she's a captain and she's an ensign. Mm-hmm. So I thought that that's where they were going with it, that Mariner was embarrassed that she hadn't progressed as far by her own choice. But from her peers looking in, it's like, you're still an ensign. What's with that? But yeah, I kind of felt that too, Philip, with the all of a sudden the, you know, I don't want you to recruit me felt really kind of dropped in. But then they kind of, you know, they did support it a little more.
And like you said,
with where they were like, yeah, then they're like, oh, I'm not ready for that. And that makes sense. Because every other time we've seen her promoted, she like, it's more she just hates authority. It's all we've been given so far.
It's such a weird character choice to make her the way she is, especially because it seems like there is some story that we will be told, but we don't know yet.
Right.
Some trauma. Like, that
I was in
to
command, yep, and this happened, and I can't deal with it anymore, and I don't want to be in that position.
And they seem to tease that every episode and never pay it off, and it's frustrating because it's like, she says the line, which I love, and I've talked about this ad nauseum, I think every episode of this podcast. She says, why can't I just want to be a good ensign? Why is that not good enough? But of course, we know that's not what she wants. She's gonna confront her past and then become a great captain. I wish she could have just left.
Remember that blue shirt ensign with gray hair when I was walking by Picard? He just wanted to be an ensign, okay? He's like 70 years old. Nobody cares about him.
For a show called Lower Decks, it doesn't celebrate the Lower Decks at all. And I wish I guess Rutherford and maybe Tendi are okay with their rank and aren't like filled with ambition or whatever. But like, it's like she's her main conflict is that she exists in this world, but doesn't belong there clearly. But we're told over and over again that she just wants to be there. I guess I don't understand it. It's just the same thing.
Complicated. Thank you.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
I
fair.
I think she wants to be there, but she doesn't want the responsibility that comes with being good at your job, right? She just wants to do her stuff and then go home and get on with it, right? And in this episode in particular, because she's talking about like career and ranking up, makes me think of Tapestry. And when we saw in Tapestry, when Picard finds himself as like a lieutenant in his 60s, he considers it a wasted life, which I've always kind of hated. Because if you are doing something you love and you don't need the rank for it, who cares? Right? And that is what presumably Blue Shirt Picard was doing. He was doing something that he loved. And Mariner is presumably doing something that she loves, but getting pressure from the outside to rank up, and that's not what she wants.
She has all
this
experience.
So she has to make herself a screw up.
Now, so okay, so Philip, riddle me this, man of military. Can you reject a promotion?
I don't think
like if
can.
No, because her answer is like to do something. to do some sort of mess up and get demoted. That's her response.
I mean,
but I'm wondering, like, if your captain, whatever they call him, you know, comes in and says, like, hey, I'm going to promote you a level up. Can you just say, no, man, I'm good? Like, I don't know.
Well, in real life, you can't get demoted as an officer. You get leave. That's how you bye. That's what you get as an officer.
So it's like one of those ratcheting straps. Like, it goes up and up, yeah, but it doesn't go down.
The enlisted can get demoted, but the officers are just like, if you're that much in trouble, bye. That's what you get. Also, like, once you hit, like, seniors.
But don't you take the pips off when you're going to do something bad, so that way it's not under the flag of the...
One time, very briefly, because you can edit this out. One time I was in, when I was in the Army, we had a sergeant who got called in to the sergeant major's office because she got tested hot for, you know, a drug, whatever. It doesn't matter. But anyway, before we went in, the sergeant major asked, because I was in a mechanic squad, for my pocket knife. Which, you know, because we had those little tool things. So I was like, is he trying to avoid weapons in case she goes crazy? I don't know what's... But anyway, so he took him out. But when she came in, he literally ripped off her stripes. So I actually got to see, like, the branded scene, you know.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. So, like Mary Poppins, where they demote Mr. Banks and they break his hat and rip up his flower.
But, like, that for senior intense. Officers in the Army, like, you know, once you get to be, like, a major and, like, you get lieutenant, it's harder to get ranked. The boards are a little bit more tougher.
I know, everybody's a lieutenant, Philip, is from what I understand.
but that's to say, like, ranks, I mean, basically, but... if you don't get promoted, then it's like, so, when you're leaving, Bob, you know, that's, you either get promoted or I guess it's time to put in those retirement papers, huh? Cough, cough, cough. So, yeah.
All right.
Either up or out. You know.
But to answer my question, no, you can't reject a promotion.
Well, because in the 20th and 21st centuries, rank means pay raise. Right. So, you know, in the 24th century, it's a little different.
I was going to say, I would argue that the organization that we understand Starfleet to be, and the one that we see in that scene with Rutherford, from with him transferring, should absolutely be okay with somebody saying, this is the job I want. I love this job. I don't want to leave it. I appreciate the offer, but no thank you. Thank you, no thank you. And I think that the Starfleet that we want to see and that we aspire to be a part of would be like, if Mariner said, I want to be an ensign, then she could be an ensign for forever if she wanted to be, and there would be no issues at all. And that's what I would think would be the case in Starfleet.
I think Mariner's challenge, in order for, you know, because I'd be the old lieutenant commander at EXO at this point, is that she doesn't work in teams. I mean, we're teams people here in Starfleet. And I mean, she's kind of like, and she's not this bad, but she's kind of like those people in Voyager, you know, like Janeway had to like go down to engineering and the below decks to be like, you know, and that guy, even though he's an asshole, but that guy was like, I just want to do this, and that's how I'm going to be left alone, and that's all I want to do, you know, and okay, but we know. But I think that's Mariner's problem, because I think that's the contrast, or a contrast with Captain Ramsey, because she's like, something like, well, you know, I enjoy working with my team, and I don't know if she said being in command, but like, that's her thing. And you got to work with people. If you don't want to work with people, you probably shouldn't go to Starfleet. I mean, it's a team, you know. I mean, I'm sure you can go to Research Station, whatever. Or Starbase 80, or whatever, or 40, whatever it is. But, you know.
I think this also brings up a question in Starfleet of, like, what happens when you hit commander and you don't get a command? Right? Because, at least as far as we've seen, captain in Starfleet is not just a rank. It specifically means you are captain of a vessel or captain of a starbase. And there is certainly not enough ships to go around for like every 40-year-old in Starfleet. So if you're not going to be a captain of a specific ship or outpost, are you just stuck at commander?
No, they promote you to admiral. You're going to be an admiral.
You just skip captain.
Well, and also with commanders, I mean, we pointed this out in TNG a lot. Like, I don't think we see very few ever 3-pip commanders besides Riker. And so that's also strange. It's like this.
You want to revise that?
Until Troy, right?
Crusher is a 3-pip commander for the entire
series. Oh, Crusher,
of course,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But see, I didn't know that because they don't put it on her uniform.
It is on her uniform.
Under the jacket, covered under the jacket.
But there's a whole scene about it where she's telling Troy to take
the
commander's
test. She never does
the
scene where she takes off the pips and she's upset because she's going to,
don't you know, as a blue shirt, that's the highest she'll ever go. Chief
you take
medical
off the,
officer.
The jacket.
That's all Tandy that can does? Hope for.
That's it, not how blue shirts work.
The rank of commander is not required to be a chief medical officer.
Right. Yeah. But no, I see.
You got to kill Geordi to get that third pip. Everyone knows that.
But then you have, you know, just Riker and Beverly. But I would think that like every department head would be a commander. Yep. Like that would make more sense.
Like Commander Darren, perhaps?
But Commander Data?
That's what I'm saying. You have all these lieutenants and commanders, and it doesn't make sense to me, Philip.
Yeah, there would be a massive bottleneck at the commander rank where literally you would retire as a commander.
A ship in a bottleneck, Daniel.
God. I get it. Ooh. We all did that when we were... Everybody did that when we were young, right?
What is everyone's thoughts? Captain Ramsey's team is blank. I was going to say awesome. Like, you know, Vulcans don't usually
it
do
together.
It for me. But, like, she was kind of low-key awesome. Like, she was still a Vulcan, but she was still awesome.
She was Philip, a grumpy Vulcan. I liked her.
Did you recognize her voice, Philip?
I did not.
So I knew it. As soon as I heard it, I'm like, I know that voice. And I had to look it up to confirm. But it is voice. She and the dog are voiced by Jennifer Hale, who plays the female Shepard Commander in Mass Effect series.
You mean the only Shepard Commander, yes. Daniel? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm in Mass Effect 3
I play
right
as both,
now.
So, yeah. Oh, so it's no, awesome. No. Yeah, I recognize her right away.
100% all the way.
Fine, that's fine.
You only romance Liara. Everyone knows that.
So now we're starting to get our Mass Effect, because there's been tons of Star Trek and Mass Effect. Now we're starting to see our Mass Effect leak back into Star Trek. I'm all for it. I'm here for it. So, yeah. Okay. What else? Wow, that went
dog
everywhere. All over the place. That was great. What else? Do you want to talk about the dog? Should we talk about
that? Daniel, I thought we were going to talk about how everybody becomes a blue shirt at the end of this episode. I mean, wasn't it like your favorite thing?
Oh, because they turn blue and invisible? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they're blue shirts.
That does not count, Darren, and you know it.
I don't know. Is it on purpose or not? Like that every ship they meet now is a California class ship. It's kind of like the TOS. Everyone's a Constitution class. Like because we
or
model
end
we
of Picard. We only have one ship type
cut and paste
ever
it.
Left.
50 million
just
tons.
Cut and paste yeah. it.
But did you notice the California class ships all have specialties too?
Oh, well, they're the different colors, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
that's very cool.
That is
cool. And some also look a little different. Like when they saw that blue one, I think one time, like it had a couple different pods on it, like slight mm-hmm. variances. So.
And they're all commander ships? And...
Commander, stop it, Darren.
No captain.
Stop it, Philip. Stop it. So wait, hang on. I have a quick question going back to the crew of the Ramsey crew. Who the dude, the purple dude... Was do we know what he was?
Rigelian,
yeah.
right?
Is that what yeah. he was?
He's a Rigelian.
Okay.
I just like that they're this.
Yeah, really cool looking design. But yeah, at first you're like, who the heck is?
Well, the
that?
Closest I could think was Jayla from Beyond.
Oh, very good.
Yeah,
I know.
It does have
a little
bit
of
that
white
feel.
And
the purple guy.
He
purple
was
guy with
he
the
was
long
purpler,
hair.
But he had like the
with
same
the
kind
really
of, like,
thick eyeliner.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but Jayla is white. Yeah, with the yeah. blacks.
Just doesn't can't
face.
Mean they're the same species, you know? Maybe there's.
I know. I agree. I wasn't saying that.
I just like that they're the supply bridge crew. You know, they just. I mean,
they just go
like,
around substituting.
Yeah, yeah, which is like, goddamn it, that's a pretty cool gig to have.
Substitute captain.
Yeah, you don't have your own ship, which is
she comes in and writes her name on the master system.
Show up,
hi.
Show up a mission. Boom, boom, boom. Bat.
Make somebody wear a real uniform, and then you're on your way.
Yeah, get rid of a fish, you know.
Get rid of a fish. That's cool. That is cool. That's kind of a cool gig. All right. What else? Is there anything else in the episode we want to talk about? Do we want to talk about the dog? I feel like we should talk about the dog at least a little bit.
I mean, the creepy thing with the eyes coming out was creepy, but that was about it.
Yeah, it was kind of silly. It was over the top. I get it.
I mean,
I love the line that she, when I think it was, no, I think it was, I remember it was the doctor maybe, who said, you're more familiar with DNA than you are with dogs. Clearly, you have no idea what's going on here. So,
well, we're finally seeing Tendi do something in medical. You know, we're told episode one that she's assigned to medical and she's been hanging out with Rutherford this whole time. So,
I mean, who won it?
Well, true.
Yeah. I mean, except for the pilot and the heart squeezing, that's all we get. Yeah. So
it's nice to see her actually do something in medical.
And I'm we've still said kind of, several times, we're just waiting for that episode where they all do something together. And, like, Rutherford uses his cool engineering skills.
Apparently
and
this
Tendi
next
does
episode,
something medical.
They're all being tried by the Klingons
true.
Or something.
That's true. Well, that doesn't actually mean they're going to do anything.
That's true.
I'm just glad it wasn't of paired off again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm over it. Don't do it again.
Or at least not the same pairings.
Right.
If you must, give me a Rutherford and a Mariner or something, or something that doesn't involve Boimler.
I think a Rutherford-Mariner could be good. I think that could be a good, interesting pairing. They have some
very contrasted styles. You know.
Yeah,
well, and
sure.
They seem like they already knew each other, mm-hmm. like at the beginning.
But they're both highly competent.
Yeah. Too competent, maybe.
Well, like the thing with Tendi, I mean, this is me. I don't know. I mean, I just really would like to know more about her, not well, her specifically, but her generally, too, as an Orion in Starfleet. Like, is that common now? And what does that, I mean, they're not, well, I was going to say they're not going to the sex stuff, but they probably would in this cartoon. But I mean, like, what does, you know, because we've had it all over the spectrum with TOS and Enterprise and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, how does it work now as an Orion? What are you all about?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to answer that question in season two, maybe, of Lower Decks.
Chronologically, have we seen an Orion since TOS?
I mean, not counting JJ.
Enterprise.
Right, oh, yeah. I mean, Enterprise. That's what I mean by chronologically,
yeah.
Like
in
universe.
Not that I can think of.
I mean, I can't imagine the Orion Syndicate joining the Federation, but who knows?
Well, just like the Ferengi didn't join the Federation.
Right, but if Orion is not a member world, even though
could
it's
you
probably
join
more than one
did
world,
she also
would need someone to write her.
She was found
to sponsor
by
her.
Human yeah. Starfleet officers, just like every character ever was that's not human. And
that's
know,
true, like Data.
Worf.
No, but she's talked about growing up on Orion.
No, you're right.
Yeah, she has.
I know. Well, I'd be interested in. You know.
That's a great question. I wonder.
I mean, it doesn't seem to be a rule that you have to be a member world to be in Starfleet. No, but I'm
that's
saying because
Ferengis said aren't. You have to get a recommendation from a command level officer in order to.
No, no, and I
take
and
the
I agree. I'm just
entrance
saying
exam.
You don't have to be a member world. You can get sponsored in.
Right.
Who
was
Tendi's
sponsor?
But that's interesting. Yeah. Who would sponsor an Orion? Is she the first Orion?
Maybe her sponsor should swing back through. Or maybe her sponsor was like the captain. Who knows? You could tell us
I
more.
I feel like her sponsor, and again, I'm not really pushing for this. Please don't do this. I want her sponsor to be a character we know. Because it's kind of like, you know, oh, Captain Sulu was my sponsor. Or, you know, something like, not that. Because I mean, I'm saying someone who's used that before. But anyway, that would be interesting.
Janeway.
Yeah, or whatever. Don't bring any real character into this universe.
We already know we're getting a real character, Philip.
You know, he's a character, all right.
okay, so let's do some anything that we missed. Oh, hang on. I kept trying to bring it up. And I know there's not a lot of traction here. But the end scene between Tendi and the dog, I thought
really
I cracked
dog.
Up. I just cracked up when she goes, she yells, you know, you really are.
Like Trinity's been tripping this whole episode is really what it felt like.
And the dog's like flying away. And she's like, I just didn't want you to worry about me. I thought it was great. I thought that was awesome. Tendi really doesn't know what dogs are. But I thought that was funny. Is there anything else in the episode? Because, of course, the show has... you know, 7 jokes a second. So
I mean, space jellyfish.
Yeah, oh yeah,
I was thinking
we
that's
did get that call
pretty
back.
Similar to
space
much deadlier than we I remember, but
and he eats electricity, right? That's what mm-hmm. what's going on. So it can't be the actual space jellyfish, right?
Cousin, at least Daniel. They don't all look the same. They could still
maybe
be.
Maybe it's a baby.
Yeah,
could be a baby.
Yeah, because it might have started as something smaller and then it grew itself into the ship
by eating its energy.
Yeah. That was kind of fun once they had to actually be Starfleet and like solve the mystery. And I mean, it happened very quickly, but you know, and then they turn the power back on and it all goes bad.
The one thing that stuck out to me when it has the crewman and I guess Ramsey shoots it with the phaser and it shocks it to drop the guy. But it eats energy. So wouldn't that make it stronger?
Like It's like, ah, yum, crushes it.
Also, and yeah. Again, you know, we're just doing this.
The phaser couldn't get through the plot molecules that were surrounding the...
But also, that captain seemed really freaked out. I was expecting more of a monster than we got. Like, I mean, that captain and the crew are like, ah, it's the thing, it's outside. I'm like... Okay.
Yeah, she like...
Hey, there's a thing on the pylon! Ah.
She literally screamed, I don't want to die in space. And it's like, you're a captain. That has not occurred to you before now? That,
yeah,
that may be the ending
she
of kinda it?
She kind of was losing it, like, a lot.
Let's see. Is there anything else? Anything else we want to talk about?
Guys, I found this footage deep inside CBS's headquarters, and when they were trying to figure out.
No, I just assume that there's when I do my all the things I pay for, it's just going to be a math equation. It's like Disney plus.
There you go.
Paramount.
I fix it, guys.
Plus
this is what we're going to do.
Netflix. Equals actually, Apple TV. Hey, how'd that show up? Oh, man.
Yeah. We'll build it on the bones of Google.
Oh, man.
Oh, Google Plus.
And,
oh, man.
Yeah, that was...
Hey, for a while, everything started with an I. Now, for a while, everything's going to have a plus after it. True. Just the way technology goes.
10 years from now, everything will have an umlaut. So, you never know.
We'll see. Oh, hey. In closing, well, not in closing yet, but I will say probably the funniest joke to me of the episode was the visual gag of the people in Captain Pike chairs with Hawaiian shirts around them. Oh, man. I thought that. I don't know why it just made me lose it, but I thought that
beep,
was
beep
great.
Beep, chair. That's the
Anyways, so let's close it out. What did we think overall of this episode? Suyer, I guess I'll let you go first. Where did it fit in the pack? Lower
decks. 1 through 7.
You know, honestly, I think this is probably 2 or 3 for me. I think this was a good departure from what they had been doing that was getting me kind of bored, to be honest.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you. I thought it was, I was like, I watched it and I'm like, a lot of the other ones, I'm like, these were kind of forgettable, but I'm like, hey, I kind of like this one a lot. I really enjoyed watching it. And I think I haven't had that reaction since the first one, honestly. It's because once you set that baseline, obviously it changes things. But yeah, I think this is probably maybe my second favorite one for sure. So what about you, Darren? Where does this land?
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely in the top 7.
Bold, Darren, please tell us all of your thoughts.
I just love committing to my views. No,
you're
I
a Star
think,
Wars guy, you should be used to ranking things.
Oh man, every couple years when they do the re-release,
who's the
of,
best Skywalker,
Boy,
Darren, tell
where,
us now,
gosh,
in the extended universe.
So but yeah, no, I think you're right. I think I like the pairing difference. I mean, we've all been waiting for that for 6 episodes, for them to do something different, and didn't really have a lot of Rutherford. I mean, he did have a big episode last week with Badgie.
No Badgie. No sign of Badgie this episode.
Well, no, I'm not saying Badgie's going to stick around, but no, I think, you know, it made me think it'll be interesting to rewatch this series once it's all done. Because I feel like after you've seen all 10 episodes, you know where it's going to go and you know what you're going to get and not get. And I think that might let me just kind of relax and just rewatch it for absorbing the jokes again. Not like, oh, what are they trying to do in this episode? It's like, that doesn't matter. That part of the equation isn't there anymore.
I can see that. What about
and
you?
It's only 10 episodes and they're really short. So,
yeah, take you like an hour to watch them all.
Yeah, I could watch like you could watch 4 episodes
Daniel?
Of
Wait
West Wing. You know,
4?
By the time I watch,
let me
that.
Check my math. Hang on. What do you think, Philip? Where is this line for you?
On the Rutherford scale, this it's not doing well. Not doing well. Yeah, it was good. Or it was all right. Is I? You know, I can't think of any like laugh out loud moment. Yeah, like I think it was what in our last episode or maybe 2 episodes ago where I just felt like, okay, that's what this is. Lower expectations, enjoy what comes, and that's what you get. And I almost, I don't know, this is me being tropish. Kind of like with the first episode we talked about, and they've kind of had maybe 1 or 2 other times, I almost kind of want a stereotypical kind of Full House moment at the end where we all learn a lesson. But, like, it doesn't have to be that bad. But it has to be, like, and I think this one tried or had something like that with, Mariner. And I just wish more episodes had that moment, you know.
That button scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just like a kind of a schmaltzy, this is the lesson we learned, or this is the character moment, and, you know. Because I always think, I mean, I know it's a cartoon, whatever, but I'm just like, yeah, everything should have a reason, should have a heart to it, you know.
So. The show needs 10% more heart.
And 20% more Rutherford.
It needs to unabashedly end on something sweet and pure.
I mean, if they're not going to have a scene at the end where everyone's on the bridge laughing, then you got to have something else.
All right. Well, that was good. That was good. We talked about everything's coming up. Boimler, right? Is that the name of the episode? Oh, no.
Everybody loves Boimler.
About Boimler. Sorry, I was...
Taming of the Boimler. I was
totally Mr. Boimler's wrong. House. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Boimler's weekend at Boimler's.
Boimler's day off. I don't know.
My two Boimlers.
I have a feeling we'll probably be talking about Boimler again. So yeah, thanks guys. It was fun chatting. Philip, if people wanted to talk to you about your Rutherford scale, where how would they find you?
They can find me at Twitter at NC Public Servant.
And Darren, people wanted to talk to you about your favorite kind of dog. How would they find you?
You can find me on Twitter, or Instagram under username Dr. Sci-Fi. DrSciFi.
And Sue, tell everybody where they can find you on the internet so they can talk more about the cat doctor.
Absolutely. You can find me personally on Twitter at Spaltor, that's Spaltor, or you can hear me talk about Star Trek and all of the things by going to womenatwarp.com.
Awesome. They can find me on the internet as well on Twitter at OneUpDan, that's the number one, not word, as in Femme Shep is number one.
Yes.
All right, everyone, we'll catch you next week. I'm Daniel Prue.
I'm Philip Kilfus.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Sue Kissenmother.
Stranded here on SETI Alpha 3.